Welcome to Social Design Insights, the program that brings you into the battlefield of public interest design. I am your co-host, Emiliano Gandolfi, and with my co-host, Eric Kessel, we are concluding with another exciting interview or series on Should Designers Be Outlaws? After Teddy Cruz, Mark Lakeman, Arquitectura Expandida, we are speaking today with the rebel architect number one, Santiago Sirugueda. Sirugueda is a Spanish architect, founder of the collective Recetas Urbanas, which translated into English reads Urban Recipes. Over the last years, Sirugueda has been building hundreds of projects that have been challenging the way in which we see our role as citizens. In fact, Recetas Urbanas works endlessly on strategies for subversive urban occupation with the ultimate aim of empowering citizens to take action to improve their own environment. They do this in terms of housing, public spaces, or any kinds of facilities. In their projects, they recycle material, but mostly they spread the new knowledge on how the city could be made, not only from a physical perspective, but also looking at the actual legal requirements to make these changes long-lasting. This interest brought Sirugueda to join forces with a network of collectives called Arquitectura Colectivas, a multidisciplinary group that aims to reinforce the participatory construction of the urban environment. With this collective, Santiago is always on the verge of finding legal loopholes in which design can bring an immediate relief and service to civil society. Eric, do you want to take it from here?
Thanks, Emiliano. And Santiago, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that when Emiliano and I started thinking about this question, should designers be outlaws, you were first on our list just because of the progressiveness of your work and how you've pushed the boundaries of design and kind of flirted with this line of illegality in order to improve communities. And what I've always found interesting about your practice, and I've told your story to my own students, is that you started your practice while you were still a student, while you're still at university, or at least started thinking about it. Can you take us back to those days and recall for us how you began thinking about urban problems in Sevilla and how you started developing this praxis for which you're so well known?
Realmente, yo nunca quise ser arquitecto.
I never really wanted to be an architect, and that's why when I started university, I did not have much fascination, and I looked at the city not as an academic, not as a student of architecture, but as a citizen, so my eyes were much more critical. I didn't go to class much, didn't listen much to the professors at university.
Y al principio fue de una manera ingenua, fue por no entender.
Instead, I was more fascinated in understanding citizens, how they related with public authorities, which were their rights and their needs, as their quest for a playground for children, or for an improvement in a school or in a park. I was looking in this city for that information that was lacking in the university. I listened more to what happened on the streets than to what I was told in university.
Santi, from taking this perspective as a citizen, I think you've been facing a lot of discontent, seeing several levels of inequalities that our cities and the current neoliberal development is actually constructing. How did you actually develop your understanding of an action, a public action, that can construct an alternative to the current state of building?
Realmente, en todos los proyectos que hacemos,
in all the projects we do with different groups of people, the first condition is to remember that the public administrations, the government, whether local or national, do not have the capacity to serve the entire population. And this diversification creates a space for intervention. Where the administration can't reach is where we create a space for action.
Que la administración no puede y nosotros tenemos que colaborar. Hay veces que lo hacemos de manera ilegal.
Sometimes we do it illegally, simply because legal conditions are not feasible, or because the law is clumsy or deficient. Yet the important thing is never to deceive the community you work for. In Spain, we work in mental health or in education, but whatever field, it is crucial to have the direct involvement of an engaged community.
Que esta involucración de tanta gente distinta realmente se hace un poco acompañando.
This process is sometimes clumsy, yet it frequently substitutes the deficiencies of the administration, whether in Spain, in Germany, or Colombia. Ultimately, it is a parallel system to the traditional discipline. It is a parallel action to the state. It needs, of course, a lot of knowledge and a great involvement of people that are prepared.
O de acción paralela al Estado, que necesita, eso sí, de mucho conocimiento, de muchas personas que estén muy preparadas, porque estamos hablando...
We are dealing with subjects such as legality, architecture, self-construction, healthcare, all of which are fields that are usually covered by the state. But as I said, the state doesn't always have the right answers. I also want to point out that we are looking at strategies and projects that are not just temporary situations. We're really trying to change legislations permanently, although in the future they will be changed again, right? By other groups, other people, another social movement.
To expand on Emiliano's last question and your response to it, we know that Recetas Urbanas is a collective and utilizes artists, architects, and lawyers as well. Can you give us a sense about how you, as a designer, interact with those professions to bring about these results?
Como diseñador, realmente, hemos ido cambiando mucho, pero es cierto...
As a designer, through time, I've been changing a lot, but it's true that with age, the main thing became for me to maximize the effectiveness within a time frame. There are many elements that influence the design, such as the materials and economic resources we have at hand in a given time, because the solution to a problem can be given from many economic levels, and our priority is to make sure we succeed in spite of the materials, frequently reclaimed, or the challenges we are subjected to.
Estamos pidiendo incluso legalmente licencias para diseños.
Lately, we've even been asking for legal licenses for designs that have not yet been defined, a request that an administration finds absurd, as they can't give licenses to build something that is still undetermined. The designs in Recetas Urbanas are clearly laid out in structural, volumetric, legal terms, but there is another part that is not so defined and has to do with the construction processes that depend on the materials we can get hold of in a certain location and time frame.
Y hay otra parte de diseño que se deja un poco abierto en el proceso.
There is the part of the technical design that is specified in detail for this process, and the other that leaves some space for the circumstances that may come to affect it, such as the political aspect or the amount of people who come to join the process. Frequently, hundreds of people intervene in these processes, and although you control that it does not fail, and that the legal requirements and the technical codes are maintained, finally, it is all very open, particularly in the final part of the process.
Finalmente, está muy abierto, sobre todo en la parte del proceso final.
Santiago, I think it's quite fascinating to know to see in your production that there was a first phase that was very strong and challenging, that was based on illegal Uber interventions that were somehow emblematic and it seemed more as a communication technique. Well, now, while you're working with this larger collective of Arquitecturas Colectivas, it seems that you're becoming much more pragmatic and that it's not only about communicating an alternative, but trying to organize people to build this alternative. Do you see this assessment as correct? Is there a shift in your practice?
The creation of the Arquitecturas Colectivas network started 10 years ago, and it includes over 100 groups. It has been a team created out of necessity, both as a personal as well as a collective necessity. Our actions have been shifting from very direct initiatives in the streets that were taken by individuals to the necessity to deal with larger issues that would concern the city council, the state, and trying to develop conditions that, from smaller activities, would lead to more vast considerations, looking at how to make our society more democratic. Many of the people who have the right to occupy or to use a square will not make use of this right if they don't feel backed by a legal tool. For this reason, we've organized this network to include many architects, lawyers, town planners, and hackers into the network, so we feel strong enough to negotiate in Spain or abroad with an administration that includes lawyers, city planners, computer experts, and so on.
Informáticos, etcétera, etcétera. Entonces, cuando planteas una alternativa
So when you propose an alternative to a law, a usage, or any class of public policy, you need to be very well equipped, and I believe that Arquitecturas Colectivas gives us tranquility and knowledge so that we can go at the same speed as the public administrations, because their rhythm is different to ours.
Santi, building on your last response and this previous question by Emiliano about evolution, I think one of the things that's interesting is that practices like yours have emerged in response to the inadequacy of public administration and public services. You know, they're not putting the things in communities and streets that people need, like parks and playgrounds and this sort of thing. How do we evolve to the point where that's not the case? You know, it seems like we've just gotten content with doing the best we have with fewer and fewer resources, as, you know, I know austerity measures have taken place in Spain and that sort of thing. Is there a way to reverse that trend and to actually cement in society the idea that public administration exists for the benefit of people, and that zoning and building and construction and development should be put to the task of making better communities?
Let's see if I understand correctly. When we bring a project forth, when people call us, they are people that are not bidding for open calls and competitions. Recetas Urbanas doesn't participate in competitions to win a project. When it occurs to an administration to build, as an example, on the corner of a street, a building, they decide a certain height, a specific use, and a certain budget, and the architects and designers compete to see which one is more fashionable to make that building. In our network, we encourage people to build change, not to be afraid to challenge authorities, which is why we get calls, as the one that I received from parents who want to improve a school that is not within the legal space requirements, or from people that manage a health facility who want to propose an alternative model of mental health that hasn't been contemplated by the Spanish government, or by a community who want a public space in their neighborhood that has never been built. I believe that in the last years, maybe because of the crisis in Spain, although we've been going through a crisis, in fact, for the last 20 years, there's a greater consciousness that we have a voice and don't have to wait to hear what the administration says. That we have some rights to make changes. And normally, and I ask you too, you who are listening to this, what level of relationship do you have with your government? How often do you communicate? What do you ask them? People's political and social culture is very low, really. We don't normally demand great things, not most of us. And perhaps that's where we see that Recetas Urbanas can be a great support for many more people.
Indeed, Santi, a profound question, especially in these challenging times. What relationship do we have to our government? A question we should probably all be asking ourselves. We've got to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to expand on Santi's idea of a demanding citizenry. Stay right there. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Social Design Insights with Eric Kessel and Emiliano Gandolfi. Thank you for listening to Social Design Insights. Social Design Insights is an initiative of the Curry Stone Foundation and the Curry Stone Design Prize. Each week, we strive to bring you the voices of leading practitioners of socially minded design from all fields. For 10 years, the Curry Stone Design Prize has been seeking, finding, and celebrating emerging practices in socially minded design. For further information on this episode, the show, or social design itself, please visit our website at currystonedesignprize.com/podcasts. On the website, you'll find all sorts of fun stuff. You can find documentary videos on all of the past winners of the Curry Stone Design Prize. You can find narratives for all Curry Stone Design Prize winners, past and present, as well as for members of the Social Design Circle. Moreover, there's multiple galleries of photos of our winners' work for your use and links for further research.
Welcome back to Social Design Insights. We're speaking today with Santiago Sirugueda, founder of Recetas Urbanas. And this is the last interview of the series, Should Designers Be Outlaws? While next month, we will be addressing another crucial question: is the right to housing real? So please follow us on currystonedesignprize.com. But now, back to our conversation. Santiago, you have been speaking about the role of citizens, claiming that people should be questioning their politicians and taking a more active role in society. A lot of your work is happening in Spain, a country that is facing a fierce austerity plan and that had a severe mortgage crisis that led to having more than 500,000 new buildings that lie empty. What would your solution be to reclaim all the space and to make it habitable for communities?
We're working on it. One of my best lawyer friends is managing 40,000 properties of the bank La Caixa, administered by U.S. banks. So I'm thinking how Recetas Urbanas can convince the U.S. banks who own the rights of exploitation and sale of these hundreds of thousands of abandoned buildings, how to use these spaces for social and cooperative housing projects. This is the question put in other words. Really, every property owner has a limitation on the rights to the property they own, as I've said many times. Banks, individuals, governments, all need to manage their private and public assets, and there is a great fear of demanding this. If buildings are not used, it can be expropriated. But what happens is that it's very difficult that a bank or a government will play our game. For now, we are making small actions to demand the right of use, but it's complicated. Many projects are taking place in Spain right now to claim the right of use of such properties, but it clearly won't be easy. And it will be necessary to implement the law, illegal occupation, the media, public manifestations, everything we can think of. What really needs to be questioned is the right of property, the right of property that pertains to the state, that state that has to manage public goods, and the individuals, the private owners, who, although they are owners, cannot do what they want. No, not within the Latin law. Perhaps the Anglo-Saxon laws are more flexible, but the Latin laws are not. It's impossible.
Santi, we understand that you've recently been in Ecuador helping after the earthquake, which is a different context than what we were just discussing in terms of social housing and that sort of thing. Could you tell us a little bit about what you were doing there and what the situation is?
The interesting thing about Ecuador and some other countries is that their university has a social obligation. In all universities I know, the statutes express the need for a social mission. What we are doing with my work in Ecuador is to organize 10,000 students of engineering, architecture, and law to get them involved in this social work of 400 mandatory annual hours, reinvesting in the making of an army that, together with the communities, collaborates in the reconstruction of housing. These communities are exasperated, desperate, in need of support. And curiously, the state can provide specialists and undergraduate students with high technical skills. We are looking at one of the few countries where the university is converted into a tool of social action. It's not so in the United States or in Europe, but Ecuador has been fortunate because this has been passed as a law now. So in my case, I've gone to several universities to talk with those public authorities, those students and professors, about how to organize 10,000 students so they can face in the next 4 years the full reconstruction after an earthquake.
Santiago, you have been working with a number of collectives that asked you to help them to define a possibility of having spaces that sometimes are illegal, sometimes are temporary, but sometimes are also permanent. Which project would you think exemplifies better your endeavors? So to tell a bit to our listeners how your work functions in these kind of cases.
Ahora realmente...
Now, really, even if it seems more boring to people, any of the projects that have achieved a legislative change, or at least a point of view, have been important to me. Nowadays, I'm very happy with a project that is totally legal, and it's interesting to see that people have more fun when I do illegal things, more activist work. But I'm happy with the work we're doing in Sevilla, working with education and mental health in a legal way, and it doesn't mean that it's easy, because they're fighting us, and changing a politician's mentality is very difficult.
Es muy difícil. Creo realmente que los proyectos en los cuales hemos cambiado la actitud.
I really believe that the projects in which we've changed the attitude of the administration are the best ones. I would like to say that there are two types of projects we do and that we like equally. One consists of the small actions that take a week or a month and are practically a guaranteed success, either legal or illegal. They are fast and give us energy.
Los dos son necesarios. Uno te da energía y fuerza.
The other type of project is heavier, takes longer, 1, 2, 3 years, and it's very tiring, and people see it as more monotonous. And that aims in changing a law, changing the attitude of an administration. But both types are necessary. The shorter one gives you energy and strength to follow the longer one. But with excitement, all our projects have multiple lives. From aula abierta, open classroom, a temporary classroom on rooftop of a school in Granada that has been rebuilt in Sevilla. And then that was converted into La Carpa project and is now finally in Barcelona. It is curious that a project can have 4 or 5 forms. You then realize that in architecture, while the building can change form and image, finally, the most important thing is always the social, political, collective situation that has been generated, right? And many of these projects no longer physically exist, but they do exist in the change that people, groups, or politicians have experienced.
Santi, for our listeners, what was the project in Barcelona?
In Barcelona, es una squatter.
In Barcelona, we were working with a squatter community, an occupation. After 10 years of fight, we finally managed to achieve legality. Some people might think it's more boring now, but really, if we consider the struggle of hundreds of people who've demanded the use of a public abandoned building, people who didn't have any alternative, for these people, this change of policy is fundamental. Because it has demonstrated that if the administration doesn't use public buildings, they are, in fact, guilty of mismanagement, and their right of use can be usurped or removed, and this is what has happened. Then an additional piece of architecture was added. It became necessary to build more, even if it isn't in itself so important as an object, but because people needed the excuse to build together, which is what happens to us. Sometimes a building is not needed, but we're asked to make something together, a small two-story building, because this collective experience improves things. It has even happened to us now in Madrid that we're building a two-story building that's not even for us, it is for another collective. But it's necessary sometimes to create this condition, as it establishes a collective building process that empowers people to have this responsibility, to make sure no accidents occur, to look for materials, etc. And I believe architecture is a good excuse to work politically, culturally, and, well, in many ways, right? Even in healthcare, as I said earlier.
You have been working in for many years also publishing the plans of your interventions so that people could replicate your work. I was wondering, how do you think that today you can get more people involved in using the strategies that you developed and your techniques to empower local communities to take action and to replicate what, in fact, you have been experimenting with recetas urbanas?
It is true that, well, I have been able to see this in many people, not only because they know of recetas urbanas, but also because there's been a more critical attitude with the theme of the crisis. But we should consider that we are still talking about a small minority of people. I always assess the political attitude of the politicians. I attack them, I'm very critical, but I'm also very critical of the citizens.
Los porcentajes de colaboración que hay en un proyecto.
The percentage of collaborations in social and educational projects, we're talking about 15 or 20% at most of active citizens. So yes, I have seen some replicas, because what happens is that every week somebody writes us and tells us of a project they have in a municipality just to let us know or to clarify their doubts. And I'm continually emailing to clarify doubts, right? So we're practically a voluntary consultancy, you know.
Perpetua, ¿no? A mí me gusta mucho, pero sí que mucho trabajo.
I like doing this volunteer labor a lot, but it does imply a lot of work. But as I say, although we've tried to make the plans of Recetas Urbanas public, also the contracts and agreements, we also give continuously free legal advice, or we share the mistakes that we've made so that others will not fall into the same traps. Even so, I believe that society, according to the different countries, of course, but in Europe, I see that the possibilities are very stalled, and although there is an increment in activism, I believe the numbers are very, very low.
Creo que los números son muy, muy, muy bajos.
Santi, given this low turnout, this low level of consciousness that we have, you know, what do you see as the next step for architecture and designers? Is it just a matter of doing more projects, or do we have to evolve as a profession?
I believe that in what is important for the profession, the same goes for what is important for the citizens, as I see it. I'm very sorry, but I just see a very low level of criticality in the profession and universities. I do not teach in any university because I find it difficult to find people. There is always one professor or two professors, but a critical awareness about the true nature of the profession is fundamental. And also, of course, this critical awareness is reinforced when we intervene, because finally, we are a profession and a discipline of action.
Finalmente, somos una profesión, una disciplina de acción. O sea, que somos personas que tenemos que recuperar edificios.
We are people who have to recover buildings, spaces, to build or destroy, and it is important that we know how to do it. Whenever I go to a country, the other day in Holland, Colombia, Norway, I ask the question, do you really know, you architects, some kind of law, participation, some kind of law in your country that gives you tools to act and demand? Normally, nobody answers.
Normalmente, nadie responde.
And I think that's a beautiful place to close. And thank you for that inspirational vision. So, Santi, thank you. It's been a thank you on behalf of our listeners for taking your time and sharing with us your story, your insights into this critical practice.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Santi. I've been seeing over the past almost 20 years your work evolve, and I think that it's showing really how there is the necessity of having a civic participation in taking direct responsibility for creating space for exchanges and for creating dialogue. And I think that somehow your architecture is becoming emblematic and symptomatic of this necessity. And I'm really glad that it's growing with the needs of society, and that possibly also with the influences that you have on students and young architects, it will flourish more and more with more collectives taking this responsibility and growing this illegal architectures or simply necessary architectures more often. So, Santi, thank you very much for your time, and we'll be in contact soon.
Of course. Thank you, Emiliano. I love you. It was a very nice hour, really. I will have beer to celebrate, okay?
Okay, good.
Because sometimes I need to have a beer. Very quiet, because tomorrow I must to travel again. So I'm now in Sevilla. I'm happy and nice to hear you and talk with you.
So you've been listening to Social Design Insights with Eric Essel and Emiliano Gandolfi. Social Design Insights is an initiative of the Curry Stone Design Prize and the Curry Stone Foundation. For more information on the work of Recetas Urbanas and Santiago Siguera, please visit our website at curriestonedesignprize.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram for all the latest news on social design.